And so, did you just want me to say dispatches from the underground? Dispatches from the underground.
Dispatches from the underground.
With your host,
Joey Steele. Up to no good. We're good?
Question authority.
Dispatches from the underground.
Question everything.
Dispatches from the underground!
All right, welcome to Dispatchers from the Underground. I'm your host, Joey Steele. Thanks for getting down with us. We are coming at you from the underground in New York City. That's where we are. This is what we do, and I'm glad you could join us down here. I hope everybody out there is having a great winter. I am having a fantastic one. My band All Torn Up just got back from doing a short tour with the Subhumans in Canada, and my other band, Skullcaster, is now, as you listen to this, on the road, doing a month-long road trip, playing shows in the West Coast and the Southwest of the U.S. with a bunch of incredible bands. And I'm just stoked. And this is going to be a great podcast, too. But for those of you who have not heard this before, I want to tell you what the goals of this podcast are. We have two goals here on Dispatch from the Underground. First, we want to find the best voices in the underground, those people making incredible music, those people leading incredible resistance, those rebels, those fighters, those dreamers. We want to get them to help us get a better perspective on this world. We don't all agree. I really don't want to agree with everyone who comes on the show. I really just want to dig into their brain and hopefully find those kernels that keep them so ingrained in the underground, keep them so filled with heart, and then hopefully we can be inspired by their words, we can get an insight into their perspective, and hopefully shift our own perspective and get moving ourselves a little bit. That's the first thing we want to do on every episode. And the second thing is, we don't want to ignore the mainstream while we're reveling in all this underground glory, talking to all these incredible underground figures. We don't want to ignore the mainstream. So we want to look at the problems, the culture, the society, the politics, whatever. We want to look squarely at that and think, is there anything good in there that we can grab hold of and bring to the underground? Or should we just eviscerate everything around us? Should we just destroy it all around us and hopefully make an underground world come to the surface? Those are the two goals we have in this show. And I think we do a great job of that today. Like I said earlier, my band All Torn Up just got back from doing a short five-day tour with the Subhumans in Canada. And on the last day in Quebec City, Dick Lucas from the Subhumans was gracious enough to sit down with me for a little bit, and we did a short interview. And, you know, I had a ton of stuff I wanted to talk to him about, and Dick was extremely kind. All the guys in the Subhumans were extremely kind. Shout out to Trotsky, Phil, Bruce, and Greg, who was their tour leader. We had a blast on the tour. They're all just the nicest, most down-to-earth, incredible people in the world. It's sort of hard to think about the fact that they've been making incredible political and conscious music for longer than I've been alive, or since before I've been alive. I mean, it's a little bit hard to think about that. But particularly on the last day, Dick was kind enough to sit down with me to talk a little bit about politics, a little bit about punk. And I will admit, I was extremely nervous. I know you think, oh, this guy, he sounds so cool, calm, and collected on this podcast all the time. Or maybe you don't think that, but someone might think that, possibly. But this interview, I was fucking nervous. Dick Lucas has been doing this since before I was born. He's been doing this making conscious and political music. He's talked to 1,000 me's. And I was just terrified, and I hope that doesn't come through in the interview, but I'm sure it did. Anyway, huge thank you to Dick Lucas and all the fellas in the Subhumans for not only doing this interview with me, but also for taking us on tour, being super cool with us the entire time. Couldn't have gone any better for us. I hope they felt the same. But also, the crowds were super cool. Everybody in Canada was just awesome. Like, everyone was super nice. There wasn't a single fist fight the entire time we were there. Everyone was cool. They were excited. They're like, oh, we never heard of your band before, but we loved it. And they were just very, very cool crowds just constantly. So I am very excited to go back there as soon as possible. And we'll be working on it as soon as I get back from the Skullcaster tour that I am currently on. So let's get right to the interview here. Dick Lucas from the Subhumans, from Culture Shock, from Citizen Fish is on the episode today. And I had a laundry list of questions for him that I was dying to ask him, because for me, he has been doing this for so long, so successfully, so incredibly, so in such a talented, thoughtful, moving way, with such a motivating, inspiring way. And I just wanted to pick his brain about conscious punk music. I just wanted to see what his perspective is, having done this for longer than I've been alive. What does he think we're doing with the music that we're making? And I'm putting myself in the same category as him. I don't know if I should be doing that, but he's not with me right now as I record this intro, so he can't stop me. But I just think that all of the folks out there who like conscious and political music, who like punk music that has thoughts involved in it, I think Dick Lucas is the epitome of a lot of that. And I was very nervous talking to him and had a ton of questions for him on that front. So we're going to talk punk, we're going to talk politics, and we're going to talk about how we are changing the overall society, or how we're being changed by the overall society, or how we need to better change that overall society in this interview. So I hope you all dig it. I think there's a lot to gain from it. And obviously, I think Dick Lucas's perspective is, you know, preeminent above all of our perspectives. So all of his insight is just, you know, earth-shattering to me. And he did a great job of putting up with me and also, shredding through my bullshit and just getting right to the core. So I really appreciate it. Thanks again, Dick Lucas. Thanks to everybody in Canada that we hung out with and had a good time with. I want to shout out a couple people. Huge thanks to Deep Bistro in Toronto. My good friend Jess is up there cooking incredible food, incredible vegan food. And we were so glad to go there. And they gave me literally a bucket of whoopie pies, vegan whoopie pies, and I really appreciate that. If you're in Toronto, go to that place. Also, shout out to all the bands we played with in Canada. There were so many good bands. Two of the ones that jump off out of my head, Dragged in Toronto. They were so exceptional, so fucking good. Love that shit. And also Days of Rage from Montreal, which I actually knew about before I went to Montreal and finally got to see them, and they did not disappoint. They were an incredible band. So shout out to those guys. Also, shout out real quick. I want to thank Real Punk Radio at realpunkradio.com for airing Dispatches from the Underground every Wednesday night in their incredible programming. They got a lot of stuff going on over at Real Punk Radio, so make sure you go to realpunkradio.com. You can listen to Dispatches there, or obviously you can subscribe on our website, dispatchesfromtheunderground.com. There's a merch section there, and yeah, there's a way to subscribe right there on our dispatchesfromtheunderground.com page, or you can go through iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts. It's not complicated. Just make sure you subscribe, and as always, it is always free. Just keep listening, keep sharing it, keep spreading the word. We super appreciate anybody who's doing all those things or leaving a donation if they can, but either way, just keep spreading the word, and we're going to keep turning out these podcasts. This podcast is going to be up for a little bit longer because I'm on tour, so maybe it's going to be up for 3 weeks. We usually do one every 2 weeks, but I think this one's going to be up for a little bit longer. But when we come back, hopefully we'll have some new interviews with Days and Days and Jay from Dirty Kid Discount and his other band Ground Score, and maybe something with Rats in the Wall. We'll see. We're going to be playing with a bunch of incredible bands. Skullcaster is going to be playing with a bunch of incredible bands on this tour. So hopefully we can sit down with some of those folks and do some interviews while we're on the road. But that being said, let's not wait any longer. Let's get right to it. We're going to listen to a song by the Subhumans. We're going to listen to Religious Wars by the Subhumans. And then we're going to get to this interview with Dick Lucas. Get down.
Good night. darkness of death. There's no light in your eyes, a cross in your grave. Your time has arrived. In the name of God, they left you to die. Religious wars, there's no reason why they left you to die.
All right, we are sitting here in the sub-basement in Quebec City in a blue green room. It is the fifth day of a short tour we're doing in Canada. All Torn Up is opening for the Subhumans. And I'm sitting here with Dick Lucas of Citizen Fish, of the Subhumans, of Culture Shock. What's going on? How you been?
I've been great the last four or five days, like touring over here on a very short tour. Unusual thing to do. People say, why don't you do America and Canada and like combine it? It's like there's so much hassle getting into America. There's work permits, yada, yada, yada. And it's like America's like the opposite of Canada, even though it's just like divided by a thin line that someone invented like 200 years ago or whatever. But the nature of people in Canada is so much more relaxed.
Oh my
Not
God.
Slagging off your country. Where everybody who's listening to this comes from or anything. But like, you know, America does actually suck on so many fucking ways. Apart from the nature of the majority of people that we meet. Obviously, it being the sort of scene that we're in, we all tend to meet very fucking good people because we're punk rockers. And naturally, we are more anarchistic than most people on the planet, especially those in America who are surrounded by the most dismal, hopeless, vile, predatory media based bullshit non-stop coming from every fucking source except from people's mouths, especially the ones who don't watch so much TV but actually you meet on the streets, who've got a lot to tell you about real life as it really fucking happens. And you learn a lot more by walking around. You can stand on a street corner and meet more interesting people with more relevant information than you're ever going to get by watching any of the 58,000 fucking TV channels you pay so much for. Apart from that, I'm great. Yeah.
That's actually what I want to talk about, because look, we're all of us, especially in the US, but everywhere, surrounded by so much negativity, so much horrible capitalism is just telling us what to think, how to act. And you have been making conscious political punk songs in that climate for so long. How have you kept yourself so focused and optimistic and motivated, and every day you get up there and move people, not just physically, although you do move them physically every single night, but emotionally, intellectually, like consciously empower them. How do you keep focused on being positive and doing that when so many other punks get jaded and cynical? And that doesn't happen to you and the Subhumans and all the bands you're in.
These short, snappy questions are just the hardest, right? It's like a positive version of negativity. Or a negative version of positivity, as you want to put it. It's like anger keeps me going. I think it just becomes the focus from which I can like vent against the world that has previously or continuously, one or the other, I haven't worked that one out yet. like somebody once said, don't ask me what I think until you hear what I've said.
Yeah.
It's like, but things have always freaked me out about society as a kid, as you're growing up. And you get shat on when you're a kid, and like people take the piss at you for like stupid fucking appearance reasons or intellectual reasons, like you're too clever, you're too stupid, you're too this, you're too that. You don't fit in with some weird, unfocused consensus on what you're supposed to be. And apparently the consensus is, until you reach the age of like conscious adulthood, something to do with strength or being good at games or being able to punch the next person harder than the fucking person next to him. So given that and all the bullshit coming off the telly, you start to realise on your own, if you're very lucky, but mostly not on your own, but you come to realise via some source of information that the world is not as it seems, and it's not just you feeling it. Now, that source of information for me was punk rock. Mm. So when punk rock came along, and I heard singles like Bored Teenagers by the adverts, it was like, holy shit, not only is all the previous music I've ever listened to just a bunch of whining crap, apart from a few solitary 10-second bursts of energy, all those bursts have been sewn together in the music, and the lyrics are singing about something I can actually fucking relate to, and it goes from there. And because I like words, I started writing lyrics. And so, yeah, back to the question, how do I stay like that? I mean, I just keep that initial burst of realisation that I'm not on my own, And there are people to fucking share my own feelings with who will understand where I'm coming from in the same way as I understand where they're coming from, that keeps people like me. And by that, I mean people who ever felt alienated by society, of which there's, which is most of society feels alienated by the concept of society as we're force-fed it down the tube. It keeps you alive knowing that there is a counterculture, something going against the grain when the grain is being set by the media and the status quo, how things have always been, and most history books, and teachers, and religion. The list is pretty big. All those big things. Now, you can blame your parents, but I advise you don't blame your parents. They just sucked up what they were given to suck up, and most parents don't react against it because they, I guess, either felt they'd done pretty well on their own plane of understanding of how things should go, because, like, most parents maybe didn't get arrested, didn't get addicted to drugs, always had a job, got married, had a kid, settled down, died peacefully, whatever. But we're living in much more uprooted times now.
For sure.
Much more.
Yeah.
And things aren't as simple. Things are now not just like black and white. It's not now, it's not just us and them anymore. We've got the internet. We have got free speech, freer than it ever has been before, in terms of all the available knowledge you ever wanted is apparently out there on the internet. But we've got so many downsides to that. Is that like everything becomes much more shallow. Every piece of information is worth a millionth of what it was worth before because it's accompanied by all this other information stuff, and a lot of that is bullshit. So now we've got society as represented by three-dimensional things and historical things and things that are written down and have to be discovered in a slow motion sort of way. That has been represented by instantaneous information all at once on the internet. Everything is now now. None of it is based on research or experience. All of it is based on pressing buttons. And that has a really detrimental effect on the nature of the way humanity thinks about itself and about the whole fucking world. And it's very, very confusing.
Well, how do you think punk can affect this? Because, you know, is it a challenge that I have that I go through? And I imagine, though, although, you know, I'm not sure, but, you know, we want change as much as we want to have fun, as much as we want to have punk culture. We want to see change happen. We want the world to be a better place. We want to be with people. I've been in 5 shows with you, and I know that you care so much about everybody who comes to that show. You go so far out of your way to not only inspire them, but just spend time with people. And I know that you care about them, and we want change. How can we make punk bring change to all these people who maybe aren't paying attention or are paying attention? Like, what role does punk have in that change? Or do you think it does?
I think it already is. It already has. The reason we've been able to keep playing gigs to relatively the same amount of people over like fucking 30 fucking years or whatever is that punk naturally does change people from being alienated to being associated with something that they can meet people on a regular basis with. The initial change is it makes lonely people more sociable and it makes them less lonely. And therefore, at that point, you start the interconnection and interchange of ideas. It's not like we're all going to gigs saying, hey, what do you think of the latest development in yada, yada, yada? We're not going to gigs and talking politics and stuff. But when you go to a gig, it's a social event. And if you want to buy a product by the band you thought were quite interesting to listen to or hear vocals by, whatever, and you buy the record or the product or the download or what the fuck it's called these days, and you take it home and you read something in the lyrics that makes you think about something to do with the world outside of the gig and the social scene, then it might change the way you react next time there's an election or next time there's a protest going on. You might think, well, fuck it, why don't I just see what happens if I get involved in it? And it's that process of opening people's minds to further things than they maybe have already seen so far. But the social network that is punk rock and the scene is one of the very few musical scenes, at least, that does have a background of providing alternative information and facts about things that go on. The facts that you're probably not going to see in your regular experience of getting the media shoved in your face.
Yeah, the flashing lights and the buttons.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, and I just feel like, I think I get this leveled at me all the time, you know, that we are up here, we're playing political music to punks. And, you know, I don't agree that this statement is true, but I'm curious to hear what your thoughts on it, because I think it's a good criticism a lot of people might level toward us, that we're preaching to the choir, that we're talking about politics and we're talking about anarchy and we're talking about, you know, being together and getting through the alienation and ending capitalism to people who are already leaning that direction. And I don't know how I'd feel about that, but I think a lot of people out there want to know how someone who is doing it better than anybody else thinks about this question when it gets leveled at you. I mean, do you hear this from people? Do people bring it?
I used to hear it. It's just like, you're just preaching to the converted. It was a phrase that was going around people's heads at some point. Sure. Firstly, preaching to converted, if that's what it is, we'll stick with the idea for a minute, is probably what the converted want to hear. They want a bit of backup now and again. You know, they want the juices refilled, you know? They want a fresh coffee on top of the last one they just had. They want to know that what they've been thinking all along is still relevant, is still true, that they haven't, like, made a big mistake 20 years ago where they bought that fucking record, that their brain hasn't gone fucked up lately, okay? So let's have a bit of sustenance, right, to those who are, say, converted, whatever the fuck. Secondly, I keep meeting people who've never seen us coming to shows, never been to a punk show. It's not even just us. It's just like, never been to a punk show. Totally impressed by the nature of the punk show. Totally impressed by the bands. Totally like, wow, I've never been to one. This is my first punk show. I'm blown away, they say. It doesn't happen all the time, but occasionally. Mm-hmm. It's just like, people say, wow, I got your record. The first time I've seen you live, it's like, okay. And it's like a step up. So it's like, you know, you're not preaching. That's another word to get out of the fucking way. It's suggestion. It's questioning. It's suggestion. Like maybe you want to have a poke around the subject of religion or your diet or what you're spending your money on or where it goes to. Who made that fucking T-shirt you're wearing? You know? It's like suggestions. Also, there's a lot of stupid songs about fucking dyeing your hair and fucking up your face. And like, you know, it's not all politics. You got to mix and match. But insert a bit of politics now and again, and I call it politics, it's just sensible stuff. Serious. Let's mix up the serious with the silly and the profane or whatever. Give it a fucking shot, because if you sing all your songs about beer and girlfriends, duh, it's been done before over and over again, then it becomes merely entertainment, you know what I mean? And amusement, you know where the word amusement comes from? It's Latin, where muse is to think, right? And they put an A in front of it, it means to not think. A, it's like not thinking. So like amusement is non-thinking. So if entertainment is amusement, it doesn't raise any thought. I like people to think something while they're having a good time. Yeah. I like to think something while I'm having a good time. Otherwise, I'm not having a good time. Yeah. I'm bored. I get bored fucking easily. Damn right.
Well, let's. I don't want to take all your time because I know you guys got to go.
Yeah, right. I've got to go somewhere. Where am I going?
I will take all your time. We will fucking do this shit. I will do this all fucking day. All right, fine. Then I will go longer. You just talk yourself into a longer interview, Dick, so you're going to regret that in a minute. But let's stop the interview for a second. Let's take a little break. Let's listen to another tune. Here's a tune from my band, All Torn Up. We were opening up for the Subhumans on this short tour in Canada. This is a song that we ended most of our shows with. It's called They Are Already Ruins, and it was off our Drone Life album. Even though it was a little bit older, we ended these sets with this song because, to me, this song is really about community. This song is really about us as punks, you know, realizing our potential and just being positive and realizing that we are in this together and we are not these beasts that we've been born to be by the society that we've been bred to be. And to me, I think that the Subhumans really epitomize this element of conscious political punk music, which is, you know, that you're not alone, you're together with other people, and that we in the punk scene are this vibrant culture, that we have so much potential. And I just think that the Subhumans bring that out better than anybody else. So that's why we ended these shows with this song, and it was something a little bit special for us. So I wanted to play the song here right now for you. This is called They Are Already Ruins by my band All Torn Up. It's off our Drone Life record. Get down.
You're still alive. how do I end this war? Bound stations occupied, the life we live, can these treasures so deep we lose perspective? A poison better than a bomb. When we're in arm with comrades, these little lives that we have led could not have been any better. Forces were fighting and the air swan screamed. They mumbled crushing out of it, never noticing. Our passion just a mirror with silent shoulders up. The future's stuck up in the ring, it's never to be shot. Whoa! I feel it all inside, the flesh is dropping shit. Sin has not invited by the common bonuses. The folk will sound like us, we'll call a shackle boys. The digits all they need to know that they are not alone. Whoa! We're going to run in this war. Foundations occupied. The life we live, in the treasure. So deep we lose perspective. A bunch of bad and bomb. When we're all, in all, in all, we're common. The little lies that we have led could not have been paid for. I ran a time here, the microphone in hand. Thinking about time is still in a single fist. Sure, maybe you, but that's the world I met. As long as there's a chance, you know the people join it. Whoa. It is like the moment we gave it all we could. The song is from the truth, the hook around it that we spoke. It is wrong, get it, promise to myself. I'll be the dentist and I'm gonna find my shit. Whoa.
What do you think about with the state of where the punk scene is? Or, I mean, look, let's not talk about capitalism in general, because we're never going to be able to play the set. We're just going to talk shit about where people are in general. And I think your point about people feel so alienated, they want to feel together, and this is a place where they can come together. That's one reason why a lot of people love punk. But let's talk about a criticism of punk. Where do you think the punk scene needs to go? Where it is right now, you guys are playing it. You guys play all the time. You play all around the world. You see where the punk scene's at. What do you think is something that we need to do more in the scene to take it in a different direction, or what's maybe the biggest problem we have that we need to straighten out? Or do you think we're going pretty good?
I'd like to see it go backwards a little bit.
Please, yeah.
Back to the printed word, a few more fanzines, a bit more something to read available for like half a dollar or a dollar, something printed out to take away, as well as, CDs and that sort of thing. The fanzine scene was like amazing, and I'm not going to say back in the day because I fucking hate that phrase.
Why do you hate that phrase?
Because it puts it in a past that shouldn't be in the past. It should still be happening fucking now.
Why did it end? If it was so great, why did it ever end? Yeah,
I'd like to see fanzines back on stalls at shows, because you can take it wherever, you can read it whenever you like, anytime over the next 5 years. You can just have it in your toilet, just fucking pick it up, have a glance, have a read. Agree, disagree, whatever. It's a continuation of the idea of getting people into other ideas of what people are thinking. And it's like imagine somebody on the stall with like, here's a download ticket for a piece of paper I wrote something on earlier. No one's going to fucking do anything with that.
Yeah.
But it's like, here's a piece of paper I wrote on earlier. And I put them all together into a little magazine thing. Kids these days probably don't know what a fucking fanzine is.
It's getting rarer and rarer, but there was a little
bit... I do apologize here and now for using the phrase kids these days. Fuck it
out. I'll cut that out. Don't worry. That'll be fine. I think a lot of folks, they're not only alienated from society, but they're also alienated from the printed word. I mean, books are just like, they're not anywhere anymore. People don't even read anymore. They fucking listen to podcasts. Don't stop listening to podcasts, so... Not to discourage you from that.
A PDF of this podcast is not available.
But it's so, I mean, there's just no books, Like, people are just, they're just disappearing more and more. Because information is, like, in the cloud, It's somewhere in the cloud. You never have to really learn anything because you could just access it when you need it, on your phone or whatever. So people aren't really learning, and they're not training themselves in a
It's all there, but theory. It's the nature of, what's the word? Oh, come on, there was a phrase for it.
I've never seen you not find a word.
The medium is the message. Mm. Yes. In as much as if you can read this fantastic information on a screen, it's a way different experience to reading it on a page, sat comfortably, at the distance you want to read it at, in the right light. and you can turn the page over. You've got a three-dimensional feel to reading out of a book, whereas on a screen, that actual screen is flickering 1,000 billion times a second or whatever. It's affecting your eyesight, and it screens are just fucking bad for you. And we knew this from, like, cinemas and, you know, television was always like, fuck it. My uncle would always say, oh, television's bad for you. And I thought, yeah, you're just saying that for I don't know what fucking reason. I want to watch it anyway. Yeah, don't put me to bed now. I want to watch this. Yeah. But no, television's bad for you. And the reason for that is because the flickering, it just, like, disturbs the natural brain waves and the alpha waves and the gamma waves or whatever the fucking waves are all called. There's a bunch of them. Seriously, look it up. There is. It's that the brain totally gets disturbed by waves coming out of TV and hence computers. So it's the nature of the way you read things. And I love books. I'm halfway through 4 or 5 of them at the same time.
I think when you're reading something that's not in right in front of you, I can't even handle what it's not printed out. I got to write it down in order for me to really understand it. It's got to be off the screen for me to really understand it, because it doesn't feel real. It doesn't feel like it's actually there. It's just ephemeral. You know, it's not going to last, you know.
Right. And the other thing is, if your attention span has been fucked up by the screen to the point where you can't really remember what you just read, if you've got a book, you can just, like, go back a page and reread it and like that. And you can't go back 5 days later and find that same website with the same info unless you bookmarked it or indeed printed it out and then read it at your own leisure. I don't know. This is almost a meaninglessly, it's a semantic fucking argument about whether people are reading or not.
I mean, you know, technically,
there's still a lot of books out there.
And technically, people are writing more today than ever in the history of the world because they're texting. They're actually writing more. It's just not thoughtful texting. You know, they're just like texting whatevers, you know. But more people write now than in the history of the world combined because more people are using the written word, which is an odd thing to think about, I think.
True, but there's also more kids coming out of school who can't fucking read or write.
Mm-hmm.
And don't give a fuck if they can or not. As long as they can text words without any vowels in them.
Exactly.
They're settled and they can get the next fucking hit. Okay, the world is not like that. All the kids I actually know, who are kids of people I actually know, in reality, are fucking brilliant kids.
Yeah.
They're on top of the world. You know what I mean? They got it sussed.
Yeah.
I don't say they actually read books, but they could if they wanted to.
Well, I think one part of the reading text, the text thing, is the fact that the theory isn't involved in it, right? So, like, they read words, but they're not actually processing it like a theory, right? So it's, you know, they don't see that they actually have a theory of which they're thinking. They don't know that there's a system of this or a system of that, and so they're thinking the certain way that the system has raised them to think, because schools aren't teaching people about actually what these theories are, right? And it's such a foreign thing to think that you have a system of thinking. I don't think a lot of people think that way, too. I think it's hard to gauge how you can become different if you don't really understand that you have a system of thinking in the first place. You know what I'm saying?
Nearly. That is... Wow. Now, see, if that was written down, I'd read that twice.
It might not have been worth reading twice, though. So maybe.
I think it would. I think you got a total nugget of an idea in there, but you were mixing metaphors a lot.
Yeah.
Systems of thinking?
Well, so I think that the problem that people have with reading, and I think people read a lot, but they're not seeing that there is a thought process through the book. They're seeing motifs, seeing themes in the book, that's fine. But there's a thought behind it. There's a theory behind it. Like, people have a system of thinking behind the thoughts they're putting down. Like, they're reading 50 Shades of Grey, and they're seeing maybe the fun in it or the kinkiness in it or whatever it is, but they're not seeing the misogyny pouring through different elements of the way the relations are happening in the story. And they're not seeing how capitalism is treating people as objects and sexual objects because they've never been trained to see the larger idea behind, you know, these words that they're reading. So even while there might be reading
no one's out there really going to train people to think differently, really. It's down to the individual to follow their own train of thought. And we got to hope there's a lot of people out there who are thinking... There are a lot of people out there thinking laterally about a lot of these things. So if they're reading 50 Shades of Grey or whatever, and they're thinking behind the scenes, thinking, well, actually, why is this book so, you know, popular and out there so much if the basic nature of it behind it, and I haven't read it, so I'm not even sure.
Yeah, I don't know what I'm talking about.
But, like, if it is basically upholding it as sexism whilst being titillating, rather than being feminist, it's just being anti-women.
You guys, I'm just bringing in some water.
Yeah, if that's the case, then it's... what can I say? It's down to the individual thinker to, like, realise that. And there's not a lot we can do to influence the way people think.
Well, I don't agree, Dick. And I think you do it every night. And I think we do it every night. And I think that's what we are coming back to when we were talking in the first part, which is this is not a religion. We're not preaching to the choir.
Right.
We're up there encouraging people to think critically, ask questions, putting out different point of view. And because we're explicit about it, because we actually say this is a different point of view, don't have to believe it, think about it critically, it poses it in a way that, you know, advertisements and television and Rachel Ray or whatever, you know, Gordon Ramsay or whoever, they're not posing it in a critical way. They're just saying this is amusement. This is not thinking, you know, entertainment. But when we get up there and we're talking politics and our entertainment, we're mixing these things together. We're encouraging questions and we're encouraging thinking.
You're quite right. And when I said we're not out there to change the way people think, I guess we are. Otherwise, what's the fucking point?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But we're not telling them how to think. But I think when you said that, you also followed it directly with the point. We ask questions, and I think that that's something that a lot of people aren't trained to do when they're reading these things. And I think that actually cuts to the point very deeply of like ask the questions. And so much of punk is, well, why am I living like this mainstream society life why don't I live like this? Why don't I live underground? Why don't I live, you know, why don't I be a subhuman instead of just a regular, you know, walking around human here?
Yeah, this is it. I think the world needs another major jolt like punk rock was to a bunch of teenagers back in the late 70s. That's what it needs. It needs a major, but it's been done already. So what are you left with?
Yeah.
Trouble.
Well, we're going to try to figure it out. But before I finish the interview, I do want to ask, what's the plan? Not just for the subhumans, but for all the bands. What's the plan? Like, what do you guys have coming up in the next year and the, you know, in the relatively near future? You guys have any releases coming out? Do you have any like download information we can learn, or like what's going on?
Well, we're all going to go home and have a fucking long shower.
It's fucking freezing here. It's so cold.
Let's see. Well, we got a load of gigs already booked up for next year. Mostly for the subhumans and some for Citizen Fish and some for Culture Shock. Song-wise, most songs are being created out of the three bands by Culture Shock because all live closest to each other, so we can all practice more than the other bands because, like, subhumans drummer Trotsky lives in Germany, which is a long way away from the rest of us living, so we don't really get to practice at all. It's all on a slow build up in terms of getting another record out for any of the bands, and a quite regular steady process for us doing more shows across the planet where and when it may take us.
So you think we might get a Culture Shock album in the relatively near future?
Well, you had one in the relatively near past. Mm-hmm. That one still needs to be advertised. Yes.
What was your favorite song off the last album?
Sky High, which is why it's the last song on the album.
I always want to put the first song as the best song because I just feel like people are going to turn me off after the first song, so I better make it the best one.
No, don't waste your best song on the first one.
Put it at the last one.
Second best song.
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know. It's, you don't really make judgments like that. But Sky High was special because it was a rare song that was made up in the studio the day before it became the song.
Wow.
It was like it was a...
What?
Yeah, it was like... Jasper had this bass line, and so we jammed along with it, and the engineer recorded it. And then I took that recording home that night and wrote the lyrics to fit.
Wow.
And then came back. Well, I wrote down the actual structure of what had been jammed, because it was a bit loose all over the place, and it was like four bars of this, six of that, five of that, da-da-da-da, it goes like this. And then wrote the lyrics to fit the general beat of it, and then came out the next day with the song and said, okay, if we just lose that bit, copy this chunk and repeat that chunk, move that bit around, and then sang over it, and that was the song. And that was weird because we recorded it and then we played it live and then we practiced it. Which is
wow. Like
exact opposite of most songs.
That's
you
so
practice
crazy.
Them, you play them live, you record them. It's like a completely opposite way. So it was a really special song because it came together. But like the whole fucking, that one song, the beat on it, dude, didn't it? Just, yeah, I don't want to blow my own trumpet because I can't, but fucking
well,
good song.
Well, we're going to blow a trumpet right now because we're going to end this podcast listening to Culture Shock with Sky High right there. So here it is. Thank you so much, Dick. Get down. Listen to another tune. This is a tune from Dick Lucas's band Citizen Fish. This is Money. Get down.
I'm sick and tired of the money's always spent. Another job's killing me. The money pays the rent. The funeral will take. All that is just to see. But when it grows the flowers, it becomes the world's greed. Money, 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 money. Money for the rich, money for the fed. Cause I find the money, I cause I find the dead. And when you're dead and ready, it's putting me on line. Look at the eye. premise of all our racist history. Although I'm forced to use it, the rules have always said, well, love is not worth living if your soul is in debt.
All right, that's the end of the episode. I want to thank everyone for getting down. I want to send a huge thank you again to Dick Lucas for not only taking us on tour, but also taking time right before the show to do this interview and being so encouraging, even when I fucked the interview up at the beginning. So I really appreciate Dick Lucas for everything he's doing, personally, politically, culturally, everything he's doing. I just think he's an incredible dude, and I'm just honored that I had the chance to spend a few days with him and then to do this interview. So thank you very much, Dick, for letting me do the interview. I really appreciate it, brother. And also, again, I want to say a huge thank you to Greg Daly, who helped us not only get on this tour, but helped us get along with it the entire time. So thank you very much, Greg. Super appreciate you stepping out on a limb for us, brother. You're an incredible dude. Obviously, everybody in the punk scene who knows anything knows that. So thanks a lot, Greg. Anyway, thank you all for listening. Thank you all for continuing to listen. Please go to dispatchfromtheunderground.com to subscribe. You can leave a donation. You can get merch. Do everything you can at dispatchfromtheunderground.com. We appreciate everybody. All the donations people have been leaving. We obviously need more, but you know, it's a free show. We get it. It's all cool. We want it to be free. We're not going to start charging for this. But if you do have a couple bucks this holiday season, or if you just started listening and if you've never given anything, please go make a donation at dispatchfromtheunderground.com. And if you can't, it's all cool. No worries. There's always other ways to help. You know, going on to iTunes and leaving a rating is a huge help, and it costs you absolutely nothing. So please, if you can't give, go do that, or just share the show. If you dig what we're doing here, if you dig what Dick said on the podcast, share these words. Hopefully help some people out there can get a little bit more perspective and, you know, continue to share this and continue to get punk and continue to get political and continue to get conscious. And hopefully one day the underground becomes the mainstream and we could just obliterate this antisocial doldrum of a culture that we have been subjected to for so terribly long and put our own culture in place of it. Getting conscious is not easy in the society that we've grown up in, and we need more people on the front line making conscious culture and encouraging people to really think about the things they put in their heads. And to me, that's what Dick Lucas is doing. To me, that's what we're doing here on this podcast and with all the bands that I'm in. And hopefully you're doing that on whatever front you're involved in. Continue to do it. Or if you're not, get started doing this shit. We need some help down here. And when you do, please holler at us at Dispatch from the Underground and let us know about what you're doing so we can get down with that too. And until then, I hope y'all just keep digging it. Get down. I want to end the podcast this week with two songs. First, I want to play this band from Toronto that I mentioned earlier in the podcast. The band is called Dragged In. They were absolutely phenomenal. All the guys in the band were just spectacular dudes. They were really cool. Hung out with a bunch of them. Spent a bunch of time with Patty, their singer, who was also a sober dude, and I really appreciated that because he's a maniac on stage. So it's nice to see that there's conscious, sober dudes who are bringing it as hard as he's bringing it on stage. It made me feel good about that. So this is Dragged In from Toronto. Again, phenomenal band. I think this song is called Until It Kills by Dragged In. Get down.
Until it kills me, I keep digging deeper. I dream it through the pain, no end in sight. But I'll keep fighting to break free from all these chains. My taste of fucking thicker. I try to stay on this shit. I check myself in the mirror to pull another fucking knife from my back. Vicious cycles, vulture circle. Values corroded with toxic virtue. Man, I gotta say, man, feels like it's never letting up. Fractured memories, false conclusions, poison letters, paranoid delusions. Ripped and sighted anguish, the kind you squeeze with
to play one last tune here on the show. This is from a band from Brooklyn. They're called Aluth. Cody, who is the lead singer and lead guitar player in this band, also runs a stage at Punk Island called the Basement Dwellers. They're doing incredible work to just keep this punk thing thriving here in New York City. And I really appreciate all the work they do, and I appreciate their music, which can't always be said about every band. So I'm really happy that we're going to be playing our next set in New York City, All Torn Up's next set in New York City with this band at their spot. All Torn Up's going to be playing January 20th, 2018 with Dementia Alcoholica and a band that we just played with in Albany called Your Brain on Drugs, which just blew my socks off. They were a great band, super cool sound. I really dug them a lot. So I'm glad they could come down to Brooklyn and see what we got going on here. So that's January 20th. But let's cut right to it. Here is Aluth from Brooklyn. Get down.
Wasted all night.